Throughout history, people have been teaching each other how to remember. For thousands of years, the most famous memory aid was a book called Ad Herennium, written a few thousand years ago. Ironically, the name of the author was forgotten, but the book itself endured and taught people all sorts of mnemonic aids, all sorts of ways of remembering, so they wouldn't forget. When you come to the end of a long discussion in the Talmud, you'll get a series of abbreviations or of initials or a rhyme that will enable you to remember the decisions in the discussion. Because we all know, as Jews, that we're always being exhorted to remember. Zechor ve'al tishkach, remember and don't forget. And that must be why this morning, in the Torah portion, Moshe calls upon heaven and earth, Shamayim va'aretz, to listen to his words, because Moses knows about the porous and unreliable memory of human beings. And so he calls upon the things that don't fade away. The heavens will never pass away, and the earth will always be there. Everything forgets, va'olam omed, but the earth endures. And yet, in the midst of all this assurance of remembering, we have the words of the great Hasidic teacher Menachem Mendel of Kotsk, who teaches us a different lesson. He points to one of the verses in this morning's Torah portion, brought to us through that invaluable Hasidic compendium, Iturei Torah. And the verse is Sur Yoladcha Teshi, which is usually translated as you have forgotten the rock who created you. But the Kotzker Rebbe translates it as the rock who gave you the gift of forgetting. And then the end of the verse is Vatishkach el Michlolecha. You forgot the God who formed you. In other words, according to the Kotzka, the way the verse should be read is, God gave you the ability to forget, and what'd you do with it? You forgot God. Let's take each of these separately. Let's start with the ability to forget. Because for all, we try to remember. And all the artificial devices, by the way, that we spoke about before, that enable us to remember. Our calendars and our schedulers and our cell phones and pen and paper, which are, after all, ancient devices to enable you to remember things you can't hold in your head. For all of that, forgetting is a gift. There is a reason why people are able to forget. Speak to women who give birth. You already know what I'm going to say. If you remembered how much it hurt, wouldn't it at least make it more difficult to do it again? But remarkably, the body doesn't have that kind of somatic memory. You can remember when you were sick, but it doesn't make you sick. You can remember when you have a headache, but your head doesn't hurt. Because your body forgets. And what a blessing it is that your body forgets. If you remembered every pain, every insult, every bit of fatigue, you'd never get out of bed. And that same thing is true not only in the physical life, but in the moral life. How often have we said to each other, just forget about it? And the inability to forget about it eats away at us. Why can't I forget about it? I want to forget about it. And the things that we do manage to forget are often things that would be nothing but an irritant in our souls. And it makes our life better that we can forget. As we approach Yom Kippur, we talk about remembering everything we've done, but we don't talk enough about forgetting. And there are some things that we need to forget for all the abuse that denial and forgetting take. They have their place. A certain amount of denial and a certain amount of forgetting are essential for a human being to live. You cannot walk around without an outer layer of skin, or you won't survive. So the Baal Shem Tov tells us, if you really want to repent, this is what you must do. First, take a stack of paper, and on it, write down everyone for whom you have done a favor. You did something nice for someone, write their name down. Think of them all. I'm sure you've done lots of nice things in the course of the year. Put them in one pile. In the second pile, write down everyone who has wronged you. Small or large, write them all down. Put them in the second pile. Then he said, burn them both. Forget about them. Start the year as though you didn't do a favor for this person or that person. Forget about it. Don't see them and immediately put yourself in a position of superiority because I did that for them. And as I recall, by the way, never got a note. Just want to say, not that I needed a note. It's just the thing to do. Some of us grew up in homes where, essentially, the note was the currency of decency. If you wrote a note, you were good. If you didn't write a note, Dante should put you in one of his circles, you know? But you're starting again. You're forgetting your own goodness, which is part of repenting. Part of repenting is not thinking about how nice you are to this one and that one. And the flip side of that, of course, is forgetting about all the bad things that people did to you. And not just forgiving, but a certain amount of forgetting. Because forgiving means when you see them again, it still circles around. I know I forgave him, but he did do it, you know? Can't forget that he did it. And that isn't forgetting. And according to the Baal Shem, if you really want to start again, and we're not obviously talking about people that you must avoid because they will do you damage or do you harm, but the normal everyday averas, the normal everyday sins, and I don't want to talk about missing the mark, because sometimes they're more serious than just missing the mark. The bad things that we do to each other, wittingly and unwittingly, that are just bad, whether out of self-interest or callousness, those are the things that in order to function, we have to let go. And that means sometimes to forget about them. To realize, in the most common example in the city of Los Angeles, that the next time someone cuts in front of you and you think this is an evil human being, that you have done the same. Last week, last month, and someone honked you, and you either got angry at them because you did something wrong, or you were embarrassed. But either way, nobody gets out of it free. And so forgetting, really forgetting, is part of the process of tshuva. But that's only the first message of the Kotzka. The second message, of course, is that we use our forgetting in inappropriate ways. So, for example, people to whom we should be grateful, we forget. When people do something nice for us, that's actually not one of the things we're supposed to forget. When we injure someone else, that we're supposed to remember. That we have a tendency to forget. Or either we forget, or they were too sensitive. But not only that, not only are we guilty of forgetting that which we really should remember, but of course in the Pasuk itself, in the Torah itself, the Kotzke is making the point that God says, I gave you the ability to forget, but not so you could forget me. And the Magid of Dubna has a wonderful little parable that goes with this. He says, once a man came to his friend and he said, I'm in terrible trouble. I owe a lot of money to a lot of different people, and there's no way that I can pay, and I don't know how to get out of it. And his friend said, let me tell you a trick. When a creditor comes to your door, act crazy. Drool, sing, fall over. He said, believe me, they'll go away. So the guy tries it, and it works with a bunch of creditors. It's great. And then one day he sees his friend who taught him the trick. And his friend says to him, now, by the way, you owe me $5. And the guy immediately falls on the floor and starts to drool. And he says, no. I'm the one who taught you the trick. You can't use it on me. And the Kotzke says, that's what God's saying to us. I'm the one who let you forget. You can't forget me. That's not fair. Because what happens is, since you are able to forget the things that plague you, you forget the source of the ability both to remember and forget. And all the good things that come to you from tshuva, from forgetting and from remembering, all those good things you start to ascribe to yourself and not to me. And all of a sudden, Surya Lathateshi, the rock who gave you the ability to forget, is forgotten. On Yom Kippur, we talk a lot about absolving our sins and repenting for them. But of course, the background to all of this is that we're trying to refine our spiritual selves. And our spiritual selves is that part of ourself which connects to something greater, which aligns with something beyond us. The part that we're not supposed to forget because it is our source. Tshuva, you know, means answer, but it also means return. And there are two ways of seeing this return. You can see it as a return to the self you were intended to be. A beautiful and powerful way of viewing the process of cleansing the soul on Yom Kippur. But it is also supposed to be a return to the source from which we came. A return to God. Forgetfulness can help us as long as we remember what it is that we are supposed to remember. Throughout the hours of Yom Kippur, we have really an unprecedented opportunity. And I say that even more today than was true thousands of years ago. It is very rare in modern life to have a chance to sit hour after hour, not in front of a screen, not in front of a steering wheel, not on the telephone, but with ourselves and with God. Not because God is specially present in the sanctuary, but because we are, as God always is. And we can use that to forget the things that are unworthy to be remembered, to remember the things that are unwise to forget, and to connect to the source of life and the source of all, who remembers us as we should remember him. Shabbat Shalom.